Have you ever had someone recommend something to you?
Have you ever asked for a recommendation?
Have you ever taken a recommendation you regretted?
Do you have something you want to recommend?
Welcome to
Recommended to Me by a Friend.
Join two college friends with vastly different opinions and wildly different tastes
as we push the boundaries of friendship by forcing ourselves to take each other's movie recommendations.
And we will discuss whether it was worth our time
or if one of us owes the other a drink.
I'm Aubrey.
And I'm Leah.
And this is
Recommended to Me by a Friend.
Good drink.
Like a hard drink.
Like a hard drink.
I got some moonshine.
Of course you do. We are not the best at overthinkers.
We're not.
For scoring 7 minutes ago, we, your forefathers, were brought forth upon a most excellent adventure, conceived by our new friends, Bill and Ted. These two great gentlemen are dedicated to a proposition which was true in my time, just as it's true today. Be excellent to each other. And party on, dudes!
Party on, dudes! We are back. We are back recommended, y'all.
We are so recommended.
And today, I gotta talk to you about something.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do.
What did I do?
You didn't do anything. I have to share with you the best thing ever.
Okay.
And that
I'm
is
all ears.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Ah, because you recommended that. Actually, you were the one that recommended this to me.
I know.
The original, when I first watched Bill and Ted. You were the one that recommended it to me a long time ago.
Back in college.
Back in college, yeah. That was my first experience.
It's one of the best movies.
See-through. God.
This is one of those movies that, in high school, I didn't know a lot of people that had watched or heard of this. And this is a movie that my dad and I both love. This has been just ingrained. It's probably one of the reasons I talk the way I do. I do bust out a lot
of
dude.
Weirdly, I can see that. Now that you mention it, I can.
But we're going to get into a lot of things because I got to recommend Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure to you. And you rewatched it recently.
Yes.
I rewatched it recently, taking diligent notes, you know, and I'm really excited. The point is, I want to talk about Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
And I want to discuss my experience with you because you recommended it to me.
I'm very excited. Are you excited you took this recommendation?
I'm excited.
All right, let's delve into it.
Let's delve.
So check this action out. In 1987, Ed Solomon and Chris Matheson wrote a screenplay based off characters they had created for a comedy stand-up routine while they were in college at UCLA.
Huh.
And it was actually, it was Bill, Ted, and I want to say Bob. It was three of them. And then the guy, Bob, decided he wasn't really that interested in pursuing it after. So this movie was actually filmed and produced in 1987. And the production company sort of went a little bit bankrupt.
Really?
And Orion, who had just had huge success with RoboCop,
saved
the day. And so they put in the money to distribute the film.
Wow, okay.
This almost went to a direct-to-TV movie.
Oh my gosh, really?
Or was just lost, would have been lost in obscurity. There are tons of interesting little tidbits and facts. There's tons of deleted scenes, which nobody has seen because they're just gone. The only thing that survived is like some stills. For example, the princesses going to prom with Bill and Ted at the end. The jocks picking on Bill and Ted, and I even read that there was a choreographed, like, dance with Bill and Ted, like walking into school, like, on the way to school at the very beginning of the movie. That was scrapped. and we could have had an amazing movie.
Aww.
The thing is, we still have a really excellent movie, and it's one of my favorites.
It is quite excellent, dudes.
So, if you haven't seen it, let's see. If you haven't seen it, this film introduced us to two fantastical characters known to us as...
I'm Bill S. Preston, Esquire!
And I'm Ted Theodore Logan!
And we're Wild Stallions!
Bill and Ted.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? The world was never meant to be the same.
Well, because they taught us to be excellent to each other.
That's the most important lesson, and you're going to hear that a lot if you're listening. Be excellent to each other. I think Abe Lincoln said it best with that little monologue. I think Genghis Khan said it best when he said, "Aah!" Anyway.
Yes. Yes.
The point is, you were not expecting that.
Nope.
All right. So, if you haven't seen this movie, if somebody hasn't seen this movie, how would you describe it? Give me the elevator pitch, if you will.
I would describe it as two dudes, definitely dudes, that get a hold of a time machine made out of a phone booth. That's very Doctor Who when you think about it.
There's a story behind that.
Okay. That go back in time and grab a bunch of folks that you would otherwise learn about in history class, and it makes history fun and excellent.
Totally.
That was my first takeaway when I initially watched the movie. I was like, technically speaking, you could actually kind of sort of show this in a history class and kids would remember some things.
There are some...
some little things.
There's
not
some blatant...
everything. Some little things. Okay, yes, there are, but it's still fun.
There is. Okay, so there's a lot of fun to be had in this movie, and you're 100% right. So you have a...
the kids would remember, oh yeah, Joan of Arc. That's the chick that was playing the piano in the mall, right?
Maxime of Arc.
Totally.
She didn't play piano. She started an aerobics class.
What was... okay.
Mozart.
Who was the one on the piano? Oh, it was Mozart.
No, it wasn't Mozart. It was Beethoven.
Okay, it was Beethoven.
Or Beethoven. I love it. I love Socrates. I love Beethoven. I love Maxime of Arc. Bob Genghis Khan. It's wonderful. I love it all. And yeah, so there you have this great little clip of the... where is it? Hang on. Fill in for time. Fill in time song.
Sometimes I'm a little bit Genghis Khan. Dump something, get it on with me, nobody else but me. I can't remember the rest of the words, but I play it a lot when I'm in the gym and I want to feel cool.
Yeah, I'm going to need you to forward me that.
It doesn't help. It's not. It's a fun song. Don't judge me too hard.
Basic crux, Bill and Ted are failing history.
Yes.
Okay, and Mr. Ryan, who, by the way, is a really excellent teacher, really understanding.
Really excellent.
I mean, he's really chill, you know? And he reaches out to them. These are two guys that are clearly not motivated by academia. And he's like, listen, please do a good job on this. One of my favorite exchanges between them is...
Mr. Ryan, before you say anything, my distinguished colleague Ted and I wish to express to you our thanks for all the things we have learned in your class.
It seems to me the only thing you have learned is that Caesar... is a salad dressing dude.
And so he's like, you failed everything. If you don't pass, if you don't do really well on this project, I'll have no choice but to flunk the both of you. So that's already problematic. And then the ante is upped whenever Ted goes home to find out his father, who, by the way, is police chief captain. He is all set to send him off to a military school in Alaska. If he fails. Because if he fails history, then he's going to flunk out of school. And, by the way, fun fact, Keanu Reeves, who plays Ted, Alaskan native. Born in Alaska.
Ah,
so,
I didn't know that.
I don't know how long he lived there. I just know... here's another thing. I know a lot about Keanu Reeves because...
I love Keanu Reeves. He has this awesome motorcycle company that he has, like, these custom motorcycles. And I love watching him on the Squarespace commercials as well.
I'll have to see those.
They're
I haven't seen those.
So sarcastic. He's like one of them. He's in the desert, and he has his computer, and he's talking about Squarespace and making a website and all that stuff. And then, like, it's very kind of zen styled with this almost zen spirit leader sort of music going on behind it, and there's like a buffalo spirit, and then he kind of gets up and he throws the computer in the fire and leaves. It's like
Y'all need to watch
that. Keanu Reeves would make this be the best commercial ever. And there's like another one where it says his motorcycle, but he's like standing on it riding.
Oh, so Ted's might be going to an Alaskan military school. But why does anyone care? Why should any of us care? I'll tell you why, Leah.
Okay.
Because their band, the Wild Stallions,
mm-hmm.
is destined to write a song
mm-hmm.
that will one day unite all the planets, and everything will unite in peace and harmony because mm-hmm. of this band.
Mm-hmm.
And if the band doesn't happen, the world will not be at peace. And if there's no way for the band to happen if Ted is sent to an Alaskan military school.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is why the Future Time Council sends their most trusted person, you know, to help Bill and Ted, and that is...
Rufus!
I love Rufus.
Randomly played by George Carlin.
Mm-hmm.
The most head-scratchingest bit of casting here, because I'm always like, what was he doing in this movie? I'm so happy he's there. I'm so happy. And let's talk a little bit about Alex Winter.
Okay, let's.
At the time, Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter, virtually unknown.
Mm-hmm.
They've done little things here and there. Fun fact about Alex Winter, he doesn't do a lot of things that are not based around Preston S. Esquire.
Really?
That's a hard one to say, yeah. He was in a movie shortly after this called Freak Show, where he played Billy. That is a movie I've been trying to get on DVD for quite some time, and the only thing I can find is literally Laserdisc.
Oh.
So, it's not a super popular movie.
Clearly.
I will say this. It simultaneously makes me not hungry and also craving macaroons. And if you've ever seen that movie, you understand what that means. But anyway, back to this movie. Dial it back.
Clearly I have not, because I do not have a need, nor am I salivating over macaroons right now, so...
You've also never seen somebody turn into a freak for the Freak Show. Anyway, the point is,
okay.
That's not a bad thing. It's okay, you're cool.
Okay.
All right.
I'm scared.
So, Rufus comes with, as you said, a time-traveling phone booth.
Mm-hmm.
Originally supposed to be a car, or a van, I think. The original title was proposed Bill and Ted's Time Van.
I'm so glad that was not what they went with.
It's... Yeah, Excellent Adventure is much more iconic.
No.
It's so great.
Bill and Ted's Time Van.
It
sounds like something that you would rent to, I don't know. No, it sounds like an arcade.
It
sounds like an arcade game is what it sounds like. Like one of those that you like sit in and you drive. One of those arcade games.
So I can see the timing.
Bill and Ted's Time Van.
Bill and Ted's Time Van. But at the time... van. There was a...
Plus, I feel like there would have been a significant more amount of, like, maybe drug references or something just with, like, the association with vans.
Well, it is interesting.
Not that it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that tends to be, like, a stereotype.
These guys are clearly, you know, the beachy stoner stereotype.
Yeah.
But you'll notice there's no...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they don't. They don't. There's nothing that makes you go, you know, oh, yeah, they're on something or anything like that. No, they're not.
Well, they decided to get away from the van and car motif
mm-hmm.
because I don't know if you've heard of it. There was another film around this time, a few years before that, featuring some kind of car.
Yeah, and some time travel.
It's like they went in the past and they had to get maybe
they
like...
They didn't need roads where they were going.
They had to get back. Like, they were in the past, but they had to get back...
To the future?
That was what, yeah, to the future.
Yeah.
So I think it was...
It had this actor in it. What was his name? What was his name?
Oh.
It was like some sort of animal. It was like an ox or
Badger McFarland.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, okay. So, anyway, pretty good film. Check mm-hmm. it out. The point is, was it Time Traveling Paradoxes starring Badger McFarland?
God.
I would watch that cartoon. But anyway, so, here we are. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. They have the time-traveling phone booth. Certain things about this that I never questioned as a child that I have realized are just factored in.
Question for you from me, the recommendee, instead of the recommender.
Yeah, what's up?
How old were you when you watched this?
I do not remember a time before I knew about this movie.
It is a part of your chemical makeup, then. It's part of your DNA. That explains a lot. That actually explains a lot.
So, this was...
Don't you?
It does. back in my day, we didn't have kids' movies. There were movies that we could watch, okay?
Fair enough.
And so, and I was the third child. We've kind of lightly touched on this in previous episodes, but the thing is,
by the time you hit the third child, it's like, you know, they're fine. It's fine.
My brother still likes to complain about the time that my mother said, "What should we have for dinner?" And I was three, and I said Tootsie Rolls, and that's what I had for dinner. And
yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
You know, he apparently had a much more strict experience with our parents.
Same.
And it's interesting because now he's a lawyer, mm-hmm. and I do this. Mm-hmm. So who really came out on top? Mm-hmm. All right, so the point is, oh gosh, I lost my whole train of thought. Something about Bill and Ted. Okay, yeah, no, you're right. So I've grown up with this movie.
Okay.
This is just, there's certain things. Like, for example, I had not encountered Circle K in real life until I was in my 20s.
Huh.
And now there's a Circle K on my commute.
There's a Circle K up the road from my place.
And every time I pass a Circle K, to this day, my first thought is,
strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
And never fails. If I'm with somebody in the car, I will say that, and they'll look at me with this, like, oh, I should not date you. Like,
oh, no. Oh.
But the point is, no regrets.
No regrets.
No regrets. But no, so I always think about the strange things are afoot at the Circle K. I also, there are certain things that flew over my head, like,
okay, wait. If you guys are really us, what number are we thinking of? 69, dudes!
And I was like, well, yeah, because they are each other, so of course they'd know what they were thinking. That makes total sense to me. As it turns out, there's apparently some kind of joke about the number 69.
Yeah.
But no one has told me, so will you tell me? Okay,
no. Not here, I'm not.
I'm cute.
Not that kind of podcast.
All right. Okay, so other things I didn't pick up on. They go to the medieval time, and the Duke says put them in the Iron Maiden, and they're really excited about the Iron Maiden. Because they know Iron Maiden as the band.
Yeah.
Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
So, okay, they have to pass this history report. The best way to do it, and I do love this, by the way, Rufus says, here are the tools that you need. Do you think he intended for them to just straight up kidnap historical figures? I mean, they had to have known what was going to happen. The future council had to have known. But do you think that was their goal?
I don't know. Did they know, or did all they really know was that they were going to write the song that would unite the world, or unite all the planets, would unite everybody, and they just knew that these were the ones that were going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Did they know, have this, like, godlike knowledge of all the events that were, or all the events that were going to play out?
I don't think so, and we'll explore more on that, because
I feel like if you said, these are the tools that you need,
and
expected that they would go back and kidnap these people.
The way they start kidnapping people, sort of on accident, what is Napoleon is...
He's my favorite.
Napoleon's delightful. By the way, I used to teach French, like French, to like little kids.
Okay.
It was like part of a class.
Okay.
Okay. So, everything Napoleon says is legit French, which I'm always surprised about. It's also why I can pick up the swear words faster in French than anything else, which is delightful.
Mm-hmm.
So, Napoleon sees Bill and Ted and Rufus, and his first response is to blow them up. Somehow, he ends up getting caught in the explosion, and he gets sort of, he accidentally dives in the circuits of time.
Mm-hmm.
And upon realizing that Bill and Ted, or upon realizing that Napoleon is now in 1988 San Dimas, they realize the best way to pass the report is to just get historical figures and then find out what they think of San Dimas, which is actually what the assignment is.
Express to the class how an important historical figure from each of your time periods would view the world as San Dimas, 1988.
How would, you know, tell us a little bit about these historical figures and what you think their opinion would be about San Dimas. So, they go on a quest through time.
Okay, I gotta say this. I agree that their teacher is a good teacher and all, but Why was that the assignment?
That assignment, I think the idea was, and it's a good assignment if you think about it.
Okay.
Here's the thing. They would have to not only understand what the historical figures did, but they'd have to understand why they did them.
So they have to understand the way that they think, or at least a reasonable understanding of how they think, and then discern San Dimas based on that.
Yes.
Okay.
And so, I actually think it's really good. This is, I've been thinking about this for 30 plus years, so.
See, okay, there you go. All I have is a few years and then a couple of days to pull all of my Bill and Ted knowledge out of, or awareness. And a lot of it has been me coming from having taught, and then I'm like, why is that the assignment?
But now you're thinking about it, it's a good assignment.
It is a good assignment, I guess. Yeah, yeah, it is a good assignment.
Back off Mr. Ryan, he cares.
He does. And we need more of those caring teachers. Do you hear that? Teachers, assign good assignments.
Get them engaged. Love I was actually, them. This is something, because I got to do a lot of research about the movie and just everything, and I was telling my dad, and I said, honestly, because he's a teacher, and I said, honestly, this is what, you ought to assign, like, you know, a podcast kind of thing to somebody, because then they'll research and how to do it and all this stuff. But anyway.
True. And as a former teacher myself, I want to make sure, I always wanted to make sure that the assignments were thought-provoking and fun and interesting, so that it didn't feel like, oh, I'm just coughing up information on a page or you know, in front of the class or whatever. It was just like, oh, no, we're going to actually have some fun with this.
This assignment allows the students to kind of put their own personality into things. You get to see what, you know, the things that they would recommend to historical figures, and then based on what they know about the historical figures, what they would think about it thereafter. So that's an interesting concept. But Napoleon sort of accidentally kidnapped, and that's how they get their idea. And they, of course, leave Napoleon with Ted's younger brother, Deacon, who, of course, ditches him because, in Deacon's words,
he was a dick.
That makes total sense. Total sense. Mm-hmm. I do like watching Napoleon.
My favorite is Napoleon in the water park.
Do you know why he goes to that Napoleon water park?
I can't remember specifically. All I remember is I was so focused on the fact that that outfit of his was entirely too wet and see-through.
A little bit.
And I'm just going like, oh my God.
A little bit.
I'm a little scarred.
The water park that he goes to is called Waterloo.
Oh, yes.
And Napoleon's worst defeat.
Was it Waterloo?
Was it Waterloo.
Okay.
There's even a point in the final project where Napoleon is... you know what? We'll get there. You know what? No, screw it. There's a point where they're looking at the Napoleon part, and he's like... He's actually... I was researching this. He's actually laying out the one of his biggest defeats. I don't think it is Waterloo, but he's proposing his strategy for his army before one of his defeats. And Ted at one point goes...
I don't think it's gonna work. No? Triomphe Napoleon.
And it's because Napoleon, he did not have, you know, that thing in his brain that has people like, maybe some other people have a point. That was not Napoleon's style. He was ride or die.
True.
And he apparently would have hypothetically loved him some water parks. So, the other characters that they... We have a great clip. The other characters that they kidnap throughout, you know, and at first it's you know, they take their time to get Billy the Kid, Socrates. And by the way, if you're watching this movie, watch Socrates anytime he's on the screen, even if he's not the focal point. He's always freaking hysterical because the character doesn't speak English, and this actor had a field day with it. You can see him, like, he's constantly mesmerized by things. He's meddling with things. The first time he gets out of the phone booth, he's clearly panicked and wide-eyed. He's just like, you know, just panicked and freaking out. And Billy the Kid's like, it's cool, it's cool. Definitely watch him. A close runner-up is also Genghis Khan. So let's kind of get... So there's a point where... Hang on. One of the best running gags is Missy. Do you know who Missy is?
Can't remember who Missy is.
Missy is Bill's stepmom.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah, no, I know who Missy is. And yes, I know the running gag with her. If it's the running gag I'm thinking that you're talking about.
She was a senior when they were freshmen.
Yes.
And now she's married to Bill's dad.
Yep.
Stepmom's cute.
Shut up, Ted.
You know when she was a senior and we were freshmen?
Shut up, Ted.
Your stepmom is cute, though.
Shut up, Ted.
Remember when I asked her to the prom?
Shut up, Ted!
they got to get to San Dimas for the report.
Mm-hmm.
And so they land the phone booth in the backyard, and there's Missy watering the garden, and they have to come up with a cover story with who these people are, and they're historical figures to Missy.
Miss Preston, we'd like you to meet some of our friends.
Yeah, this is Dave Beethoven and Maxine of Arc, Herman the Kid,
Bob Genghis Khan, Socrates Johnson, Dennis Froude, and Abraham Lincoln.
That's one of the best. Like, there's, it's like, Bob Genghis Khan.
I love her face where she's just like, oh, wait, hold on. The guy's in a fur hat. And then I just love his little pause. It's just like, I can't come up with anything better for Lincoln because it's just kind of a normal name anyway. So it's just, it's Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. Socrates Johnson.
Socrates Johnson. There's so many that I, what is it, Dave Beethoven?
Hello, madame.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing. He only speaks German.
Mm-hmm.
And Joan of Arc only speaks French throughout the entire thing. And it's delightful. What they do, true to the assignment, is they take the historical figures that they have
mm-hmm.
to the mall. So they can explore the mall and then get a good idea of what the world of San Dimas in 1988 is truly like. Some shenanigans ensue.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Beethoven winds up playing... He causes a scene playing, you know, all the electronics with the keyboards, which does bother me because he's deaf. I don't feel like the vibrations would be the same.
No.
Beethoven, famously, is the one that sawed the legs off the
mm-hmm.
piano. And
just
then,
so he could feel it more.
So, yeah, he could get a better idea. Now, it's argued that maybe, just maybe, he was kidnapped at a time before his deafness had really set in.
That is true.
But
that is very true, because it wasn't an immediate thing for him.
And the thing is, this has been brought up a lot, to which I say it is a movie about two people kidnapping historical figures. Just roll with it.
In a phone booth.
In a phone booth.
Did you know Beethoven had a sister?
I did not. I feel like this is going to be a dirty joke.
No, it's actually legit not. He had a sister, and she was equally as much of a piano virtuoso, and she was allowed to play in public up until she was, like, marriageable age, or, like, that whatever the age was, like, probably 18 or so, when it was considered unseemly for a woman to be out in public in that way. And so, he had a sister, and she was equally awesome, but she wasn't allowed to do anything with it because she was female.
That is fascinating, actually.
Yeah.
See, now that's something to look into. That'd be interesting. So Mozart is... Yeah, Mozart is not who we're talking about. Beethoven. Beethoven! I keep saying Mozart. In my defense...
Totally different level of chaotic genius.
In my defense, there were several different iterations of Bill and Ted, and we'll talk more on that later, but one of the things was Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures, the animated series.
Oh, no.
Which had an entire season voiced by, again, Alex Winter, Keanu Reeves, George Carlin.
Wow.
And the very first episode, they go and babysit for a rambunctious child, Mozart.
Wow.
That's why I keep getting confused. By the way, Hanna-Barbera did the animation, and it was my birthday present that I bought for myself a couple years ago. I was like... Yes, please.
Wow.
It's delightful. But anyway, so Joan of Arc mm-hmm. finds the 80s aerobicized, jazzercise thing and mm-hmm. takes that over,
mm-hmm.
which makes total sense for her character because she does, you know, later on build this, she builds an army. Not later on, in the past when she was a real character.
Mm-hmm.
And by that I mean real person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm losing my mind.
These are not fictional characters, actually. They were actually real characters, but they are now portrayed as if they were fictional because it's in a fictional story.
Are you saying that they built a real time machine?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, that's the world I want to live in, man.
I mean, I don't know what world you live in, but I have a TARDIS, so... it's bigger on the inside.
That's what he said. Okay. So, the point is... Okay, let's see. Let me think. Billy the Kid... is probably the most relaxed of all of them, inexplicably mm-hmm. just super chill with time travel, and he sort of babysits Socrates. I feel like the two of them are the closest of all the kidnappees. They end up in some kind of, like, rambunctious kind of juvenile fight where Billy makes, like sort of a chase kind of thing, and Billy makes the mistake of firing his real gun, which gets the real mall security on them real fast. Abe Lincoln winds up at one of those historical historical photo places, and he gets arrested essentially for stealing the hat and beard, but the problem is that's his hat and beard. I always feel like Abe was like persecuted a little bit because the guy's like, okay, give me the hat and the beard back, and he's like, no, this is my stuff. He's like, nah, ha, ha, give it back, and he's like, no, don't take my stuff, and he runs away.
Aww.
I feel like they could have been like, yeah, there's a hat and beard in your inventory. Don't harass this guy.
Check it. Poor guy.
Yeah.
Well, this was before beards were, like, super popular. These days, I don't think anyone would bat an eye.
That's true. We got the hipster thing with the beards and the big mustaches and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Beards are in, man.
They are. They are. Genghis Khan.
A little bit Genghis Khan. You can get it on with nobody else but me. Sorry.
I'm going to keep that in, just so we're clear. That's going to stay. That's like the eighth time you've done it.
I know.
That's staying in.
Every time you say it, I can't help it. That's what pops into my head.
He gets arrested going to a sporting goods store because he's got his club, and he's like, he finds an aluminum bat, which he's impressed in, and what happens is really he's testing out the bat, and he gets startled because he gets too close to a mannequin that's behind him, and he panics, and he hits the mannequin head. And then he realizes he just bashes this mannequin. One of my favorite lines in this is the reaction of that, where you see the security guys. It's like, we got a live one. How often does it happen? How often does that happen? What I also don't understand is at what point during his, like, freak out, because he's still wearing the Mongolian warrior hat and all that, what point does he trade that out for football pads and a helmet? I don't get it. But okay.
Good point.
Sigmund Freud, who I also don't understand why he's arrested, he is hitting on some teenage girls, which inappropriate, but yeah, but not like, anyway, yeah, he's just
with your mother.
Yeah, he's, tell me about your mother. That's another exchange that I love between Captain Logan and Sigmund Freud. They're talking, he says, why, it's not Captain Logan, it's another one, it's a police officer, and Sigmund Freud says, why do you keep claiming to be Sigmund Freud? Why do you claim I'm not Sigmund Freud? Why do you keep asking me these questions? Tell me about your mother. So, okay. That leads us into the historical figures are kidnapped. They've already been kidnapped. Yep. Now they're arrested.
Yes.
Held by Ted's dad.
Yes.
One of the best conversations in cinematic history happens when Ted goes to see if they can get the historical figures out.
Mm-hmm.
And they, his dad says pretty much, no, go pack your bags, you're done, you're gonna go, because you're clearly not gonna pass this project. And so they come up with this idea.
Can we get your dad's keys? We could steal them, but he lost them 2 days ago. If only we could go back in time to when he had them and steal them then. Well, why can't we? Because we don't got time. We could do it after the report. Ted, good thinking, dude. After the report, we'll time travel back to 2 days ago, steal your dad's keys, and leave them here. Where? I don't know. How about behind that sign? That way, when we get here now, they'll be waiting for us. See? Whoa, yeah! So, after the report, we can't forget to do this, otherwise it won't happen. But it did happen. Hey, it was me who stole my dad's keys.
Hey, it was me who stole my dad's keys. That's my favorite line.
It's a little bit Harry Potter time turner-esque when you think about it. Just a little bit.
Our friend, whose name I will bleep.
Okay.
Our engineer friend. I had him listen to this. That was his favorite part. This was the only movie I recommended to him that he was like, that's actually a really good movie. He'd never seen it before, and he was fascinated. I was like, wow.
Nice.
But yeah, so that was, yeah. Hey, it was me who stole my dad's keys. I like how they write themselves little notes, like future Bill and Ted. And of course, they get the historical figures out just in time, and they have one of the best produced student projects in the history of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how you see, like, Ted's doing, like, a melee sword fight with Joan of Arc.
Mm-hmm.
And Sigmund Freud diagnoses Bill with a minor Oedipal complex. No. He diagnoses Ted with his relationship with his father, saying that his father has a fear of failure and has, you know, sort of transferred that onto Ted. Mm-hmm. And Ted sits up and he's like, whoa. And then Sigmund Freud gestures to Bill, says, you know, like, do you want me to analyze you? And he goes, no. I just got a minor Oedipal complex. Because his dad is dating, yep. Or is married to. I don't really know what Billy the Kid brings to the table, to the project. Genghis Khan does a, like, demonstration with all the... I'm doing a lot of hand gestures, which is great for an audio podcast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely. The swords.
He does a sword. He does, like, this, like, really cool, like, weapons demonstration.
Mongolian weapons demonstration, yeah. Or something. Yeah.
And there... Oh, he is... Ted is translating for Socrates, who speaks no English, and he's like, yeah, he's gesturing all these things. At one point, he says, he also loves, and Socrates is gesturing something, and he goes, billiards! And Socrates immediately waves his hands like, no, like, just random things. It's so interesting. Of course, Napoleon, who mm-hmm. has his own sub-story, but they get him back at the water park.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a fun fact. Napoleon famously was really, really fond of ice cream. Which is why whenever he goes to the Ziggy Pig, it's this ice cream thing.
Huh.
He eats all of the ice cream.
I remember, yeah.
Fun fact about the Ziggy Pig. Those two guys that come into, the workers,
mm-hmm.
that's Ed Solomon and Chris Matheson.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, in your notes, Christ Matheson.
Christ Matheson. Well, Christ I'm going to take that out. The point is... But yeah, those are the original creators of the
That's
character.
That's cool.
And then they wrote the screenplay and everything.
That's cool.
So they have
the self-insertion there.
It's great. And there's more Easter eggs to come. But, okay, so the project's over. And they did great, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing, by the way. Beethoven plays his thing. They talk about how his favorite... They mention, what is it?
Beethoven's favorite works include Mozart's Requiem, Handel's Messiah, and Bon Jovi's Slippery When Wet.
They mentioned that his favorite modern album is Bon Jovi's Slippery When Wet.
Oh.
And it's really, really nice. Interesting. So, okay. What it comes down to is they get the project.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you have a downtrodden Bill and Ted in the garage at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And two very important things happen in this scene. Number one,
mm-hmm.
going back towards the beginning, they go to the medieval time to get somebody. Their actual question is to a serf. Do you know where we might find somebody with an importance in historical something or other? And the serf just points at the castle, which makes sense. And it's there they find the princesses. The princesses who become the love interests. Sort of.
I love them with the princesses. They call them babes or princesses.
The princesses.
Yeah, they rarely refer to them by name. They're the babes or the princesses.
Oh, you beautiful babes from England, for whom we have traveled through time. Will you go to the prom with us in San Dimas? We will have a most triumphant time.
Oh, God, I love them. Anyway, they're kind of sad because... they've done this big project. It's a huge thing. They travel through time.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't really understand why or what it was all for. And they're having the same sort of loop conversation they had from the beginning.
Ted, while I agree that in time our band will be most triumphant, the truth is Wild Stallions will never be a super band until we have Eddie Van Halen on guitar.
Yes, Bill, but... I do not believe we will get Eddie Van Halen until we have a triumphant video.
Ted, it's pointless to have a triumphant video before we even have decent instruments.
Well, how can we have decent instruments if we don't really even know how to play?
That is why we need Eddie Van Halen.
And that is why we need a triumphant video.
Excellent!
It's a loop logic.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so they have the same conversation at the end, and then Ted's kind of defeated, and he's like... Bill says, maybe it's time to get Eddie Van Halen. And Ted says, maybe it's time we learn how to play. and the time machine shows up, and there's Rufus.
Mm-hmm.
Rufus presents to them two amazing guitars
mm-hmm.
for the late 80s. Look a little dated, but that's just me. You find out that Rufus is an amazing guitarist,
mm-hmm.
and he can, like, jam with them. And in addition, he's also brought from the medieval time the princesses.
Nice.
One of the things that's always bugged me is they're like, Rufus introduced us to these things called credit cards and this place called the mall.
Yeah.
Who's paying for the credit card bill? What is the what? That's, well, I shit you not, that is the biggest problem in my brain with this movie.
Okay, my problem is the fact that that's like the lines out of the princess's mouths is like, credit cards in the mall, like... That seems like the go-to for girls?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was the 80s.
I mean, yeah, that's true. It was the 80s. And malls were very popular.
And this was not a love story. This was not a hero triumphs for love story. I mean, that would be.
That's true. And we're not going for any kind of feminism or anything like that. And that would definitely be a go-to line. All right. I concede.
But you have to agree, where is that credit card going? Yeah, where is that credit card bill going is kind of a...
Definitely futuristic credit card fraud.
That is where my mind breaks. Because I'm like,
is Rufus paying for it? Maybe he went back in time, he got himself a credit card, now he's here, and then he's paying for it in the future. He's going to pay off he's already paid it off.
It breaks my brain, Leah.
Don't overthink it.
Okay, you're right. That's always been my downfall, is overthinking stuff.
You literally just told me this is the 80s, and so I shouldn't be offended by the lines. We were introduced to credit cards in the mall as being the lines for the female characters, the princesses, and yet you're overthinking the credit card thing?
Here's why. Because feminism, over time, has gotten, like, as a people, women, we have really...
We are people.
Yes, thank you. In our own right. No, in our own way, I should say that we have definitely, you know, as a society and community, we have grown leaps and bounds.
Yes, we have.
Credit card fraud is always credit card fraud.
Yes, it is. This is accurate. Regardless of whether or not you're a medieval princess, or your name is Rufus, or you're a real boy.
On the other hand, if you're George Carlin, you can do whatever the hell you want.
Yes.
I miss George Carlin.
Is he dead?
He's dead.
Aw.
Okay. In fact, we'll get there. But anyway, okay, so in the end, this great moment where Rufus wants to jam with them, because mm-hmm. the girls are also in the band. They find that out that second. One of them takes drums, one of them takes keyboard. Bill and Ted coming in, wild stallions, and they're just jamming terribly. And Rufus has the best closing line in any movie ever. Looks right at the camera and says, "They do get better." And that's Bill and Ted. That's Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. And I will say this, it is a most excellent adventure.
It is a most excellent adventure.
And if you've enjoyed this film, boy, do I have good news for you.
I did enjoy this film.
2 years later, they had a sequel called Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Now, there's too much to go into in this episode, but there's a lot to go into in general. So, with the idea of having our franchise movies, next time we will be discussing Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we will.
We've already gone through time. Now it's time to go through heaven and hell and all the space in between. So definitely. Are you excited?
Oh, definitely.
What have you learned with just Bill and Ted?
What have I learned?
Just the first movie.
To be excellent to each other.
I have also learned to be excellent to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
That's the only real takeaway that you need to take from this.
No, there's one more.
What's the other one?
Party on, dude.
Party on, dude.
Until next time, guys. Join us, Bill and Ted.
Yeah, what are we doing with this ending? Because I'm going to chime in, but I don't know what's... I don't know. I'm not in your brain.
I don't know. Okay.
So next week...
we'll be debating string theory. Or talking about bogus dark matter.
And how to be excellent.
Excellent.
To each other. Dudes.
Yeah.
Party on, dudes.
Party on, dudes. No, that's too much like Wayne's World.
A little bit, yeah. Different movie entirely. So next week we're going to be talking about Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, which you have already had me watch, and I already know what's coming.
I know.
And I have commentary for this one.
I've got some good notes.
Legit commentary for this one.
But as it is right now, I think this is a great way to start off our new journey.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm ready.
Is it an excellent way to start off our new journey?
I'd say it's an excellent way, and it's the way I've always dreamed.
To party on?
To party on.
Dudes!
I can live with Genghis Khan. Piece of it!